Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Calling all explorers, if you would go anywhere in the world, if you could go anywhere, where would you go? Well, today on Big Blend Radio, we're going to Reed Island, like seriously, an island of books. Who doesn't want to go there? Cool. Very excited. We have children's book author Nicole Magistro joining us, along with illustrator Alice Fegan. Nicole released her debut children's book, Reed Island, just a few days ago, really. And it shares a delightful story of a brave girl and her animal friends who go across the seas in search of an island made of books, which is Reed Island. And you can go to the website. It's myreedisland.com. So welcome, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. Reed Island. This is so cool because even as kids, like books were like an escape. You know, I was posting a quote the other day. Someone said like, books are what, you know, there's education and learning, but books give you wings, you know, it just like that gives you that movement. Like you could go anywhere and you can do anything. And I think that's what your book really represents, that power of magic. Yeah,
exactly. You know, I love books. Books have been part of my life since I was a little kid. And, you know, I've made a career around them. This book is really an adventure story that, you know, celebrates the love of reading, the joy of reading and the imagination. But it, you know, a lot of books about books take place in libraries or bookstores or classrooms. And I really wanted to show that adventure that books can take you anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I put two things together that I really love, books and that joy and passion, and also my very favorite place in the whole wide world, which is the real Reed Island. It's located in coastal British Columbia. It's a remote place way up there, and it's a place my family has been going for decades. I really wanted to kind of combine those two ideas, the symbolism of the name and some of the unique animals and landscape characteristics, into the book.
Awesome.
I know. I love all the animals and the illustrations. Yeah, Alice is awesome with that. It's really neat what she's done, because it's kind of like paper cutouts. Like it's, but then even, you know, just the whole, there's like a rhythm throughout the book. Definitely in the writing, it's very poetic and rhythmic, but the illustrations tend to go with that too, to create this really cool flow.
Exactly. We wanted to bring to life these special animals that are rare and some of which are somewhat, you know, endangered. So there's a spirit bear. There are only about 400 in the whole wide world, and they all live in the Great Bear Rainforest in British Columbia. The sea wolf, which has had, you know, nearly was extinct earlier in this part of the decade, and their numbers are coming back now. Humpback whale, but also common animals like fox and mouse, elk and moose. And then the landscape, you know, it's right up against the ocean, these rocky cliffs that rise into mountains, and there's a diverse ecosystem there. So, you know, for me, at least, that adventure and those animal characters was sort of a guiding idea of the book. And then Alice's cut collage style brought all these other elements into the book. So in addition to making super cute animals that all are bookish, you know, there's a moose with a rack of, and he has all the books right up in his rack, like bookshelves. There's a spirit bear who carries yoga mat, wears Birkenstocks and carries books. But anyway, she brought all this collage together with classic children's stories. So in addition to colors and textures to make shapes and shadows, she also brought together Alice in Wonderland, Jack and the Beanstalk, Anne of Green Gables, even the Odyssey is within the collage, and she layered that into the process. So she draws everything by hand, and then she scans it into the computer and starts to build the colors and textures with the shapes and the pieces and parts that she's created. So you'll see that on every page.
It's beautiful. It really is. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you've also had a children's book, a bookstore itself. And, you know, putting that together and understanding the back, the behind the scenes part, has got to have helped you put the book together and know, okay, this is what is going to do well. This is what's not going to do well. And I think children books, they're actually probably the hardest. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, I want to do writing, but I'll start with a children's book. That's going to be easy. But it's because you got to take care of the parent and the child.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I'm also a parent. I owned an independent bookstore for 15 years and I worked there before I was the owner of the store. So I was always selling books, always talking to parents and kids about what they loved. And that was before I was a mom. And then 10 years ago, I had my son and I started to really look at children's books differently. I started to look at them, like you said, not only for the kid, but also for the adult. And it was really important to me that kids and parents didn't age out of this book really quickly, because when you buy a hardcover picture book, you want it to last. You want to go back to it over and over again. And the favorite books that I had as a parent to read to my son, the ones that he would say, again, mama, again, and go back to the shelf, were the ones that I got more and more out of every time I read them to him. So that rhythmic rhyming text allows an adult to sort of memorize it, kind of get into the cadence, and then be able to really explore and share the book and not just read it. So that's when pointing out elements, talking about the landscape, talking about the humor in the book, talking about the classic children's stories, which ones can we find? That really starts to give back and back. You know, there's plenty of kids' books that, you know, it was like, read it again. And I just wanted to throw those out the window. So I wanted to make a book that I would love, you know, and the bookstore, you know, experiencing story time, experiencing and witnessing kids and caregivers all day, every day, with that magical moment of lap time, story time, connectedness between an adult and a child over a book and exploring is really magic. We know it creates, you know, early literacy skills and all these other things, but it really is when you just watch that happen, when you get to observe it over and over again, it's like, that's the only thing I wanted to recreate. I just felt like if I could do that, it would be a success.
I think you did really excellent with it, because I remember reading to Lisa, and I know that every child is totally different. And their minds go in different, weird and wonderful places that maybe as an adult, you get led by your child, even though you're leading the child to reading, the child is leading to you, hey, but what about this? And what about that? And then when you look at a book and you're showing them the pictures and you're reading to them, it's like, well, what made them pick that little caterpillar over there instead of this great big lion over here? That kind of thing. Where's your child mind going? And you really don't ever guess it right, I don't think. Because every time you read a book, it's different for the child. Mm-hmm. With the exception of, if you made voices for the characters in the book, sometimes Lisa used to get really mad if I changed the voice. I'm like, oh gosh, what voice was that I was supposed to use?
You've got to,
oh, Mama, that's wrong. You
gotta keep
that's
in character.
Yeah, so it's just like, okay. God, remember the voices, you know, that's with her now. Another child may be, oh, Mama, new voice. Who knows?
That's right. That's right. And vocabulary is another thing I think that, you know, kids can grow in and out of. So I wanted to use some elevated vocabulary in the story, even though it's only 280 words. I really felt like, you know, having some highlighted vocabulary, some sort of like, well, what does that mean?
She has the big words in there. Yes. I was like, she's got big words.
Yeah. And kids love big words. When we do school events, when we do story times, library things, kids want to practice saying those words. They want to acquire those words. They want them to be regular for them. And so again, you know, from a literacy perspective, that's really important. From an exposure perspective, it's also just really fun for kids, right? Mm-hmm. To learn something new. So we talk about things like, you know, humpback waves, right? When he waves his flipper, but what else does a wave mean? You know, let's talk about it in terms of the ocean and whatever. And then you can extend it, a salmon rain. Well, Are they raining from the sky? No, they're the kings of the ocean. And, you know, we talk about just those new elements. That's like, oh, I know that word. I've heard that word. What does it mean? So again, that's where, you know, a caregiver and a child can really connect over a story.
It's fun too, because I think once kids grasp and get excited about learning, and then they're getting those fun facts, you know, because even as adults, we want those little nuggets of knowledge, like, did you know, you know, kind of things. But it's funny, because as we get into our teens, that excitement for learning can go away. Even as adults, we kind of, it starts going backwards a little bit. But if we get it really strong with kids at a very young age and keep consistent with it, then hopefully they'll keep growing and always have an open mind and want to have those adventures.
Exactly. You know, and the other thing about it is, it's not just learning vocabulary and, you know, content, but also the idea that there are so many places in the world, right, that are exciting and new, and you don't have to go there in order to experience them, but you can experience them in books. And, you know, this kind of was part of the inspiration in the story, was that, you know, during the pandemic, my son and I, Reed Island is our favorite place, my husband too. And, but my son and I were doing these daily meditations together in order to kind of just, you know, focus and be in the moment. And one of the things that they always prompt is go, you know, imagine a place. It could be real or in your imagination. You might have been there before or maybe not. You know, and you start to sort of, you know, conceptualize, imagine this place. And we did that over and over and over. I mean, months, you know. And one day I said to him, just nudged him, you know, where do you go? And he said, Reed Island. I said, well, me too. And it was that aha moment that we didn't have to go there physically in order to experience it. And could we share that with other kids? And so even in the book, there's a slight sort of meditation idea, right? Of being still, of breathing in, of breathing out, you know, listening to our surroundings so that we can go wherever we want to go. So, you know, I remember as a kid reading everything from Little House on the Prairie to Anne of Green Gables and being like, wow, you know, I didn't travel when I was a kid. I didn't have access to any of that type of thing. But I knew that there was a big wide world out there, and that's what mattered.
That's and I love that you bring in meditation, because I think that's another thing that we start doing at an older age, when it's something to be done from a younger age, because that's helps you slow down to actually read as well, you know, not just skip over things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were introduced to child meditation from my son's second grade teacher. And I think more and more teachers are bringing in meditation and social emotional learning into the classroom. It's been so beneficial for our family, to the point that Silas, you know, said to me, Mom, there's this thing, let's do this at home. And, you know, I had done yoga, I had been involved with all kinds of things like that. So I knew about it, but I didn't necessarily think about bringing it to my child, but it was very natural for him. And it really helped our whole family, especially during such a stressful and weird time like the pandemic.
Yeah. It's a great way to access your imagination, to declutter and get all the worldly thoughts out of your head, that all the things you're supposed to be doing, have to do, responsibilities, and just let your mind go free.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think for children, that's really important.
And for writers,
you
know, I find it to be a wonderful tool for me as a writer, because when I meditate, I, you know, things come up and you can, you know, let them go and move on. But once they've come up in your mind, you might decide to go back to them. And I think whether that's a turn of phrase, whether that's an openness, whether that's a concept, whether that's a solution to a problem that you having in your writing. I talk to a lot of writers who also find that in a regular yoga practice. Meditation for me has been exactly that, just really opening in terms of what's possible.
It's a nice collective way of getting, you know, communication, to open the doors of communication as well for families, kind of like, okay, this is our meeting place. You know what I mean? With writing this book, did you, you know, go to your son and say, what do you think about this? Especially with illustrations and words, did he get to have any part of it?
Yes. Yeah, so in the early stages of writing, I used two editors. You know, I was working on the manuscript, working. Then I involved a concept editor and then eventually kind of a final editor or, you know, and all along the way, I was curious about what Silas would think. And about maybe four or five versions in, I had him read it cold. He had not read it. He knew I was working on something, but he, you know, I didn't really tell him what it was exactly. And he read it. He was nine then. Well, maybe he was eight. I think he was probably eight then. And he read it cold. And there were a couple instances where he was reading it and he said words that were close, but not quite what I had written, and they were better. He became part of my editing team in a way, you know? So one example is in the book in a previous version, it said, you know, it was relax, observe, explore, let go, right? More of a meditation idea. But he read it as relax, observe, explore, let's go. Like an active.
Oh, let's go. Yeah.
Like perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We were right there, but we just, you know, so, and also like then in the final versions, reading out loud, cold, not just for Silas, but other children and adults to make sure the rhythm was exactly right. Make sure that there were no stumbling blocks, in the read aloud.
Children can really surprise you. I remember we were living in Kenya and the television had maybe two channels, and sometimes
you put the TV on and
things would just play and you go do whatever else you're doing and just leave it on. And I remember going outside one day and Lisa, she's just a little kid and she had a pencil in her hand and she was leading the flowers and conducting the orchestra of flowers. And that just was like, oh, where the heck did she get that? And then you walk inside and the TV's got a conductor and he's conducting an orchestra. So in her mind, she's like, okay, she's a single child and she walks outside and there's a group of flowers. Why not? Now, would an adult do that? Probably not. You know?
They'd be all like, what you want? Yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty cool, you know, that they can make a connection. I want to lead the orchestra. So she's out there leading the flowers. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, they were my
I think
friends.
I have pictures of it too.
Yeah, the flowers are
what
my
an
friends.
Amazing image. That's so
yeah. Isn't that
beautiful.
Crazy?
Yes. Yeah.
That was cool. Fun. They were my buddies. The garden was my buddies. Hey, we have good gardens in Kenya, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Plants are amazing. So you get excited, and those are things that stay with you. You were talking about Little House on the Prairie and, you know, all those books. I was reading them when, you know, I was growing up in South Africa and Kenya. And so, you know, America was like so far away, my home country. And so like it was, you know, I thought all American kids were making maple syrup. You know, and it was just, but it's really funny how, you know, now we travel and we go to areas and they're like, oh, this is about Little House on the Prairie. I'm like, no way, it's here. So it like has this whole other thing. So anybody who goes to Reed Island after reading Reed Island is going to totally trip out, you know. But, but I think going back to the rhythm, you know, and I end up doing music later in life, but going back to the rhythm, I would think it'd be so cool to have like a song. Like, have you thought about doing like a musical piece that complements the book?
You know, it's kind of come across, I'm not really musical at all, but it's-
Well, your writing is. It
well,
is. I mean,
you.
It's got the rhythm, it's got the music, yeah.
I took piano lessons, violin lessons. I mean, I can't sing to save my life.
Well, you're a lyricist then, there you go.
Thank you. You know, it's funny. I've been working with a company called Imagination Video Books an audio video accessible trailer or movie sort of the book, and not like animated movie or anything like that, but so that kids who have, you know, visual impairment or who are deaf or hard of hearing can and interact with the book, with the digital version of the book. So not only are there subtitles, right? And there's a narrator who reads the story. There's also description of Alice's images. It's an amazing thing that is growing in popularity, and I really felt was important for, you know, making sure that the book could reach all students and all kiddos, no matter, you know, what. And so schools and libraries will likely be using those kinds of tools, but the musical element, you know, the sort of production element of it has brought to light new parts of it for me. So I've sort of been, you know, thinking about a song or something like that. We do a lot of story times, and we do a lot of, you know, hand clapping songs and toddler preschool songs in story times. And it's amazing how kids connect with, you know, adults, with books, with other things in their lives through music.
Yeah.
Maybe adding some color in pages for the characters, you know, so the kids can make their own.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see this as going bigger and bigger. Like this isn't like a one-off book, you know?
Yeah, I hope that we will have the opportunity to do more around these themes, right? Of books, imagination, and nature. When we're doing an art workshop tomorrow, and we're doing exactly that. We're kind of showing how you can create your own book cover and what elements go into a book cover and what kinds of characters you might want to show on your book cover. And, you know, do you want to show everyone or just a little bit? What kind of action, how you show action, you know, how will your title tell the reader what the book is going to be about. So we're really excited to explore all those creative elements. And, you know, in my background, I always wanted to be a published writer since I was a little kid.
And,
you know, I did a lot of like articles and feature writing and things like that. A lot of reviews for the bookstore where I was reviewing others' work. But this is the first opportunity for me to really have, you know, a book into the world. And during my time at the bookstore, I would publish children's writing that was a result of a contest in our community. And we would create a book every year. And to see the kids' pride in their story inside of a printed book that was available to the whole wide world was awesome.
That is really cool. I think, you've definitely, you're doing the whole book world, man. You are. It's like, you know, she's like, you've got it down. I mean, you're writing, I'm doing the reviews and everything. The reviews really teach you, know, to write a good review. It's, you know, people are like, oh, please just go post a review. And I'm like, you know, a good review is not that easy to write. It is, you know, it's like, I remember doing book report in school and I'm like, oh, you know, but if you did it well, you know, it was a real talent. So I think, you know, all of those pieces have come together in your book, and I hope you do more. I see this as a whole series, and
even, it is a series.
You know, a TV series where that's kind of not, it doesn't always have to be TV, but the visual aspect, I see it going in so many ways because it's cool.
There's and so all many the animals, visitors, you know, to an island. There's so many people who just visit and pass through. So you have characters who would visit and go away, and then others decide to settle.
Yes.
I think it'd be interesting as a series.
That would be an amazing opportunity. You know,
that'd be great.
Here we are at the very beginning of this process. And it's been so exciting, and I've learned so much because as an independent bookseller, I really, you know, honed that. And I practiced it, and we grew it, and we tried new things, and we innovated. And so I really want to continue that kind of pattern for myself in, you know, as an author, and really try to, you know, try new things and learn and grow. So it's pretty exciting.
Are you going to do, like, awesome. You talking about story times? Are you doing those like Zoom story times with groups of kids? Because I'm looking at all the homeschoolers too. I mean, that's kind of... homeschooling is doubled up, I think, right now.
That's right. You know, we have so far, just since the book's been out a little less than a week, we have done in-person events in different communities and different environments. But starting in November, we'll have some virtual events. So we're doing Instagram story time live. We'll do some Facebook live story times, all in partnership with independent bookstores. And hopefully we'll be able to create, you know, once that imagination video book is out into the world, we'll also be able to create something that utilizes that, that sort of lives, you know, on YouTube where people can access it anytime. So we're really just, you know, we're in that building stage. And with the holiday season coming, we're also hoping that this might be a great opportunity for parents, and caregivers, and grandparents to connect with books and their kids. So
yeah, awesome. I love that. Instead of having a family fight over Christmas, sit down with the kids with a good book.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
You know, that's the best way. I love it. Well, congratulations on, you know, I'm going to say installment number one, your first installment, because I'm sure there's going to be more. Everyone, it's myreadisland.com is the website to go to. They're also on Twitter. Twitter, you're on Facebook under My Read Island, Twitter, Nicole Magistro, and Instagram, My Read Island. And of course, the book is called Read Island by Nicole Magistro and Alice Fegan, who's the illustrator. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right, everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Take care, everybody.